My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Video games are sometimes seen as nothing more than a way to kick back and waste some time, but one expert is showing there's a lot more to it than that.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Ben Bunnell here, Tommy, and guess what? The comedy festival is back on.
Damn. It is.
Yeah.
I had no idea. Yeah. I hadn't heard of it.
Yeah.
They're still in the guide. They've got the little spiels.
My name's
from
Adam
like,
Knox.
Oh, yes.
You wouldn't find that in the comedy festival pages this year. I'm not doing a show.
No, true.
So is the comedy festival back on?
Yeah, I wonder if I could find reference to you anywhere in there if I went for a look.
I'm sure there are some bad shows out there. You probably could.
In the first bit, the inside cover, they've got the like little message from the festival director and then the state premier and all these different people. And they're all, still this year, they're all being like, ah, well, it's good to be back, isn't it? It's like, yeah, it was back last year and the year before that. Like, how many more years are we going to be doing this?
Yeah. let's lean into we're here to stay.
Yeah, we had 1 year off.
Yeah.
Like, it's
bless
been
them.
Gone.
Yeah. It lasts for a month, so you've had 11 months off.
Yeah.
If anything, it doesn't make sense for me to say if anything, it's been there the whole time. That's why I'm not doing a show this year. Mm-hmm. But
well, and it got cancelled last minute when it did get cancelled, so you'd put all the work into the show.
Yeah,
anyway.
True.
It's never gone. We're not doing a part of the comedy festival, but we are doing it during the same time. This very Sunday, the 2nd of April, the three of us are doing a live recording and, well, not record. We're doing a live show, a podcast show, live and loud and lewd at Comedy Republic in the city on Burke Street.
Mm.
It's at 3:40 p.m.
That's right.
School closing time.
Yes.
And tickets are still available if you want to come and have a little sit in there. Mm. But snap them up quick.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss out on sitting in the room. You
it's
can go to.
It's filling up.
Yeah. It'll be a good show already. It's already at the point where I'm like, okay, that's a relief.
Yeah. There's enough people in there for it not to feel embarrassing.
Yes.
But come and make it feel ridiculous.
Yeah.
We want the show on after us to be like, damn.
Mm.
Wish I had that many people on a Sunday.
I don't think there's a show on after us.
Sucks in Dane Simpson.
I will say, I think we're the only thing on in the venue all day. Unless
there's shows on every day.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're
literally, Dane Simpson is on right after us.
Oh, I must have misread their page of all their ticketed shows.
Come along to so that we can buy Ben a new pair of glasses.
Yeah.
ComedyRepublic.com.au, I want to say, or just in the notes of this thing, that's where you can get tickets and you can stream it if you're in other parts of the world.
That's right. Or if you're busy. But yes, we had another, I think, an email today from someone or maybe a comment on the Facebook, in the Facebook group being like, hey, I'm in the UK. Does the streaming ticket last for, you know, longer than the... Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It definitely
You'll
does.
You'll have a couple of days.
You can watch it live or you can catch up after, the next couple of days.
But if you're in the city and, like, you're here to see comedy festival shows, please do come because it'll be ridiculous. It's always, like, kind of weirdly different to the podcast because, you know, we're performing. We've got little weird segment ideas and stuff.
And there's no other shows on anywhere in the city that whole day.
That's right.
So you've got to come to that.
That's right.
Or I guess later on, you could go to Tommy Dasilo's show.
Yeah, you could. 7:30 p.m. that night. If you're sticking around in the city,
yeah,
you could get a little snack.
Have a protest on the way.
Yep.
Go
yep.
and yell about vaccines. That's still.
It. Yeah.
You could see Dane Simpson's show. Comedy Republic is closed for the entire day. It's on at 5 p.m. Yeah, go see something, get a snack, and then come yeah. see my show. It'll be yeah. a fun little Sunday, and you'll be hanging around after the
oh yeah
after the gig in that beautiful bar yeah. there yeah. at Comedy Republic.
This but again, Sunday will be completely empty, save for us.
Yeah. yeah,
no, but no one's working that day either. The city's been declared a dead zone.
yeah.
by the government.
We're That's technically squatting in the building. I
the
think.
Comedy festival is not back on. I don't know what you've heard, but it is off fully.
But yeah, go see some stuff this month. Yeah. There's heaps of good shows on. Mine's on until April the 9th at the Cooper's Inn at 7:30.
We should
but yeah, all sorts of good stuff. We should do a little recommendation.
Yeah, exactly. We'll chuck up some Instagram stories of like friends' posters and stuff because there's so many good shows to see. I'm going to go and see as many as I can this year. Not having, yeah, like Knox, not having a show on.
It's not bad. A little rest.
Yeah.
Other than the never-ending world of video games.
Oh. I tell you what.
I reckon it'll end one day, but for now, it's going to keep going.
Yeah. I think it'll eventually match up with real life. Like, have you seen that, the new Unreal Engine stuff?
Oh, man. That shit looks like real.
It looks absolutely.
I think they've named it the opposite of what they should have.
Fucking egg on their face. We're approaching that thing where all those like simulation theory people are like, well, as soon as it becomes indistinguishable from real life, how do you know that we haven't been in one?
Yeah, we're nearly at the canny valley.
Yes.
We're going to be walking around going like, these faces look normal.
Yeah.
They're these not faces, freaking me out at all.
They look realer than real to where now real faces are freaking me out.
Yeah.
I can't look at like my family computers. Anymore. I just had a baby and that cunt looks like CGI.
I have this vivid memory.
Yeah,
of
call my baby a cunt.
A cunt? Jeff?
Infant.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what CGI stands for.
Yeah.
This cunt's Jeff, my infant.
I have this vivid memory of being in at school and like, I guess it was maybe some stuff was starting to be shown of like the PS2 maybe around that sort of era. And so you just, you know, the assumption being graphics are just going to be better and better and better as time goes on. And my friend being like, imagine when we get to the point when games look real. And then he goes, like, imagine you're playing a game and it's just like this. And then he just walks in a straight line to simulate what real life would look like.
Get him on here. That's insight.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
He did this very like, but then he walked in and obviously listeners can't see, but he looked like and tried to do a walk, but it was still like a very stilted walk. So right. It was like, no, but that's a step back. That doesn't look real. That's trying to look like a computer, which is not quite there.
Graphics have gotten good. Animators remain incompetent losers.
Yeah.
Having to spend...
But the facial capture.
Right.
Oof. Oh, the face looks amazing, but the animators are the dumbest people. I don't know why I'm starting animation
beef.
That's
the problem is that you're having to base, you know, all of this stuff sort of on real life. And the job of an animator, very labor intensive, very time intensive.
Yeah.
You're in front of a computer.
Yep.
You are losing touch with the very reality that you're meant to be simulating.
Oh, that's true.
When's the last time you saw someone's face give you some emotion that wasn't just screaming at you to get back to work and get this finished by the 15th?
Yeah, the only good mocap or facial movement stuff is, angry managers. Yeah.
When was the last time you saw anyone walk? Because you're looking around your office. Oh. Everyone's just sitting there stuck at their standing desks.
And they're doing that jerky walk.
Yeah.
They've forgotten what it's
like. They've got rickets.
Yeah.
The only good animation is like if you... Because if it's all going to be motion capture, I'm solving problems I'm never going to need to worry about.
Okay.
But like, how do you motion capture like someone falling off a cliff or whatever?
Ooh.
But there's a good... If you're clumsy... Try and get yourself hired by animation studios to always have the little balls on. So if you fall downstairs, they can put that in the bank.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
What's that? What was that
it's
guy?
It's a bad idea, right?
Lee. What was that English guy in Mouse Hunt? Lee Evans.
Yeah.
He would be a great model for
Lee the Body Evans.
Yes.
With what he could do.
Well, the Jackass movies. They should just have those guys in mocap for the entire time. And then they've just, they've got all this stuff ready to go. If there's ever going to be a video game where someone gets blasted out of a cannon dressed like a chicken, they're like, hey, we've got We've got this on file.
We motion captured the Jackass crew, which is why in Red Dead Redemption 3 there are so many sack taps happening from all the cowboys. They're all whacking each other in the balls.
But they would have been doing it.
They'd have, they look real.
They'd have the segment where you get drunk and crash your carriage into a tree.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yes. it's been a huge week in animation and video games. What specifically?
Well, I saw a bunch of animated footage from a video game called Zelda. Tears of the Kingdom. That's right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They put out like a about 13-minute long sort of... Similar to when they were doing Breath of the Wild. They had like little sit-downs with Anuma, I think, was running through it.
Yep.
Being like... The main thing that they showed was the... Or basically the entirety of what they showed was the new sort of powers that you've got from your Sheikah Slate thing.
Yep.
There are like three or four new ones.
Yeah.
And
that they've shown.
That they've shown. I take these to be the extent of them, I suppose. But you're right. Like,
yep.
I don't think if you're like keeping in the dark for Zelda, then I suppose this is potentially spoilery stuff, I guess. But it's like very mechanical and like the way that they've marketed this game. Like, remember when they were saying, we don't want to show the logo too early because it could give away spoilers. I think they're super keeping things close to their chest.
Absolutely. Right, I mean, we've seen a couple of trailers. Probably a cumulative total of about 6 minutes of this game. And then even this is so... I loved the vibe of this.
Mm.
Just this old bloke sitting down playing a game for 10 minutes.
Come have a look what I've made.
I was thinking about this like in five, 10 years or whatever, the game's out. It's in the rear view mirror.
It's
going to
be out sooner than that.
Well,
good news.
But like long in the rear view mirror.
Yeah.
You've replayed it a couple of times. People have investigated every little... segment of it. Now we know nothing about it. They're being very deliberate about what they are and aren't showing. This video one day will just be the coolest of its time relic. You know, just this guy just playing through it, just sitting down, not snappily edited together. He's like, what if I now went over here and did this?
Well, Breath of the Wild still has things you'll see popping up on YouTube of like shit you didn't know was in Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
And I know some of it was in there, but some of it it's still like, oh, holy shit, I didn't realize you... Because a big part... it's strange that... Okay, so the stuff they show in this trailer, if you haven't seen it, it's not really at all about exploration, which was the thing with me for the first game.
Mm.
And it feels as though they're not focusing on that aspect of the first game at all with this one because it's the same map with changes and stuff and with new bits. But like you, if you're using the same landmass, cannot recreate the same sense of like... wonderment that that game had.
You could completely like make a new map, but you're still operating within this world, so you're not really gonna you're using the same sort of tool set, so you're not going to be able to make it very different. It's just going to be different landmass for you to explore, which wouldn't feel that exciting. It'd just be like you're finding a lot of the same stuff just laid out differently.
I think I would have found that exciting if I'd have been in a decision-making position at Nintendo. I would have been like, fire me. Don't let me do this. I'm going to shit on the animators. Don't let me in here.
Yep.
But then
but
also
I'm gonna
I would
take
have said,
some like Nintendo stationery before I go.
Yeah, give me a fucking Kirby pillow or something.
Yeah.
But then I would have said, if I have to do it, make it a new area, same game.
I think I probably would have done the same and like and also been like, oh, I end up in the sky too. You know, because that's like a fun, cool thing. But yeah, I think maybe someone for whatever reason hasn't played Breath of the Wild or whatever, and it's like, okay, here's just like that game, but a new landmass. It's going to evoke similar feelings of discovery and stuff, but instead they were like, no, same, but up in the sky.
And what they've gone is the other direction where they've expanded on the second layer of that game, which was like the crazy interactivity with the world.
Yeah, so the like 10 million YouTube views of like someone hitting themselves across the entire map on a boulder.
Building weird little hot air balloons and shit like that. That's,
finding a little
that's
camp of the Bokoblins and being like, what is the most efficient way to fuck all of these cunts up as quickly as possible?
Yeah,
a human instinct. But like, it's interesting to, like, it is a direction that before seeing any of this, I wouldn't have expected it really to go in. And it is maybe more interesting because you're right. They've got a bunch of like new land masses up in the sky, a bunch of skylands.
Yes.
You see what I've done?
Oh, my God.
I've combined
God.
The word sky with wow. the word land.
They didn't do that in the video, did they?
I reckon because of Skylanders. I was thinking about this, but they call them Sky Islands.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Anyway, so it's probably you've something got where it's
like
stuff.
That's a Japanese word that sounds like really cool and vibey. And yeah. then in English we get stuck with Sky Island.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
So
we shouldn't think that we're, you know, the number one language.
No.
We're not.
I'm dumb enough to only know this one, unfortunately.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm stuck in a position where for me it's not only number one, it's there's no number two.
Okay. Actually, I don't even know this one that well. Oh yeah.
So I know a little Spanish. But So, yeah, there's some new stuff, and I'm sure the map will be good, but that's not what they're showing here.
Mm.
They're not showing all the new stuff. It's familiar-looking areas with a ridiculous-looking system of... So you've got a time-reverser ability, which the example they showed was blocks will fall from the sky. You can jump on it and then use the time-reverser on it, and it'll fly back up.
I loved the very pantomime presentation of this, where he's like, now you can probably see up there.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a little island in the sky. Now, how am I going to get up there? Can't you know?
Yeah, you've done this. You would imagine that maybe you can use that on enemies or bosses or whatever to rewind their actions or things like that. Then there was another one of sticking. Well, there are a few different ones. The most interesting one to me was this combination ability.
There's like you can use it for weapons. So if you've got traditionally in Breath of the Wild, you would have a stick. That's a tree branch. It's like pretty.
My grandma would love that because that's traditional.
Yeah.
That is the tradition.
Just a weak bottom rung weapon that you find everywhere all over the world. But now with this, you can fuse a rock to the edge of it. So now you've got an actual little bomby knocker thing.
And it looked like they had thought about how to build a new model to make these things look combined. Because the boulder that they connected to shrinks in size and it looks like a hammer now.
Yeah.
It's not just like kind of jankily sticking these things together and they're going to fuck around.
Well, you all of a sudden get a sense of why this has been taking so long to make because this, like if you go, okay, you're going to have a power where you can fuse together anything, you then have to create so many sets of rules about which ones will work together, how they're going to work together, what's stronger than what and how is it all looking. And like he demonstrates a bit where you've got a long branch. You've got like a long stick already. And
nice
then you
and traditional. Bit of a twist on tradition, but okay.
And then you fuse a long kind like of pitchfork thing onto the end of that. So now you've got this like
shit music review
eight
website.
8 foot long looking like, incredibly long range little pokey thing.
He sticks one of the Keese eyeballs, the bat eyeballs, onto the end of an arrow, which makes it a homing arrow.
Yeah.
And
which it's like, it's not like immediately apparent that like putting an eyeball onto an arrow is going to make it a home. So it's like that level of discovery is sort of the new thing, right?
Yeah.
That experimentation.
Which. I don't believe they said at any point, like, you can stick anything to anything. I'm interested to know what the limitations to this are. My guess would be that there's, like, recipe books around the world similar to making the meals, how there were some of those that you
there's
can
gonna have
stumble
to be,
onto them that way.
Yeah, there's going to have to be... often in games when it's like, you can do anything and it's like, well, no, there's, like, an internal logic to the game that, like, never feels prohibitive when you're in it, but... There is a wall that you come up against of just like only these things because of this thing in world, and it's that's still heaps.
You might come up against a wall or a ceiling.
Yeah.
However,
that you've got a new bizarre.
Yeah.
I guess to just stop you from having to waste your time climbing shit you climbed in the last game.
Right.
If you're underneath a surface, you can use this power to pop up the other side of that surface.
Yeah.
And like
a little
zip
ghost.
Your way through a mountain, yeah.
Yeah.
Like a reverse Breaking Bad bath.
Yeah.
That bath falls through the floor.
Yeah.
You're like that, but in reverse. Like,
well, it's also
like if Goofy sits on a pin.
Yeah.
And goes, wowee, up it through the roof. That's what that power
I mean, it
is.
Also gives them the opportunity to have like any structure from the first game that's like a big, big cave or whatever, a big mountain that you're in a little cave front on. It's like... they can now have stuff hidden in there. You can go up through the ceiling and potentially there's like a whole area in there.
It's
so
very
just another
Minecraft
way of them
shit.
Building it out.
Right.
Because like it's mixing things together to make new recipes, exploring the world through the middle. I think from the trailers and stuff, people thought it looked like there were caves underground too, as well as these sky islands. So if they take that Z dimension both ways And then the extent to which potentially, because you're right that I'm sure there are some things that will be like, you can't use this.
Mm.
But if any game was going to do it crazily, the first one of these already had that stuff in a pretty great, the way that like fire would interact with different things.
Right.
A log you could chop down and it would roll away and do stuff with other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Like I'm keen to see if they take this as far as they seemingly were showing that they are intending to.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even, like, I don't even mind just exploring this map again. Like, my favorite bit of Breath of the Wild was just going and finding those towers and getting, and I wonder if that's going to be a thing that's returning or whether it just kind of assumes, like, hey, you've done, you know, you've got the whole map, you know, unlocked from when you start the game up. But, like, even if it is just, like, that's a part of it is going around and finding those beacons or I forget what they were called. But being able to do it in a way
towers,
where you can
have
a little like flying around or making a little boat. So then that was the kind of final part of it. Him making a little structure out of three logs and he's like, but now how is it going to move around? Oh, that's
paddle.
Right. There's, there's a fan over here.
Oh, yeah. Well, even better. Yeah, so there's like new sort of tech looking like fans and wheels, and we've seen some of that in that last trailer.
Yeah.
Stitch these things together, banjo
nuts
and bolts style, and build little vehicles or probably build little staircases or whatever, I bet. And like they jam multiple parts of the world together. It's a cool and interesting thing of doing it, and totally un-Zelda
from
any of the pre-Breath of the Wild ones. It's a new direction in a way that could be really fascinating, and it'll be interesting to see as well. Like, all that stuff is cool in like a sandbox way. I would love to see what they're thinking of doing with, like, are there now more shrines? Are there going to be big dungeons like old Zelda games? How is the game going to create puzzles for you to solve using these mechanics?
Right.
Yeah. Show any of that sort of thing.
Yeah,
I think this kind of made me... I mean, this stuff is like you kind of, the gears turn and you're like, oh, yeah, okay, you could do this, you could do this. But I think kind of what excited me...
Stick a log to my ass.
Yeah.
Nice.
Game over.
Yeah.
I've clocked it. I've speed run it. It kind of most made me excited, again, just for how little they're showing of it.
Right.
In terms of all of that stuff and the story and the approach to dungeons and shrines, this really has made me go, they really are just going to bet the farm on the legacy of Breath of the Wild, which is smart to do, and just go, people know they want in already. We don't need to show them a story trailer. We don't need to spell out for them what they're doing in this game. You get it day one and then you just fucking experience it fresh.
Right.
I love it. It's so exciting that they just clearly, they back what they have going so much and they just want this to be a fresh experience. Because even this, it's like, it shows us this stuff which we didn't formally know but we had people had kind of intuited this already from like what they'd shown in the last, so this didn't really catch me off guard. I was a little bit like hoping that we would maybe see a bit more, because that is my biggest question, is like, how do the shrines work? Are there dungeons? Are there, you know, what are you doing? What is the thrust of this if it's not exploration?
Because how
the fact that they're just like, you'll fucking find out on May 12th.
Totally. And that's the way I want it. Like, even seeing these, and you're right, like, knowing this was kind of what they were doing from what they'd shown, you can put it together, much like in the game itself.
You can fuse it together.
But, like, see, there's not a ton of those sky islands from the footage they've shown. Like, they're sort of dotted around, but it's not, like, same level of the map again.
I kind of thought it would be a whole, new kind of landmass. But they look very just little sort of...
And I wonder if they're kind of what the shrines are now, almost.
Right.
If
that's
replacing that element, I would love, but I don't know if it's possible to have some, you know, like a good chunky number of big proper Zelda dungeons.
I could see that being the case.
But then if
that
you've got this crazy
that...
shit of putting everything together, how possible is that to design where, like, well, there's a million ways to get around it, but if they design it around that being the fun part of it, then it could be fucking really cool.
Yeah, my theory would be that was the one... there were obviously some people had problems with other things in Breath of the Wild. Some people hated the weapon durability. But the main
thing is back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The main thing that even people who loved the game were a bit like, not off on, but were a bit like, I kind of do miss those big dungeons.
Right.
So I could see that being a thing where they go, they set that as the challenge for this one of like, let's work out a way to bring back the old school big dungeons that people love.
Maybe that's what's immediately
like the point of difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that being the thing that they went, well, if we're recreating the landmass, adding these little bits of, you know, different types of exploration, but that's the way we make it a different game and, you know, answer to that a little bit.
Because it looks exactly the same. Like the visuals themselves are possibly even, and this is from a YouTube video, but maybe a lower resolution or something than the Switch version was, like brought it down a little bit because that version ran poorly at some points. And if you're like going all the way up into the sky often here.
That's, I was kind of watching for that, right? Yeah. Like there's so much other stuff going on. There's more like particle-y, weird-y effects with those abilities. Like, yeah, how is this going to run? And yeah, I think I agree. It looked like it was had been dialed down in a conservative kind of way.
Yeah, a little fuzzy, not in a terrible way. But and if it's like clear that it needs this because you're going to build this huge fucking weird Lego weapon.
Like a big, you know, Bowser skyship powered by 80 fans or whatever.
Which is a cool thing about the durability being there. It's like having those sticks have a purpose for after that first little bit, pick up a stick. I'm a new way. I'm not traditionalist, but there's creative, cool, exciting, interesting reasons to pick up everything in the game.
Right.
You know what I thought was a cool bit where he was up on one of the Sky Islands and he was like fighting a thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, they showed off a new enemy.
Yeah.
Little statue guys kind of coming out.
Yeah. Who were kind of cool. And one of them like hits him off the edge of the island and he's like, oh no. Oh, well. And then he's like, this is a way you can get back onto the ground.
Yeah.
And from there immediately, it doesn't look like all the draw distance stuff is pretty, you know, he's falling and you could see like the entire landmass.
And it was
great.
You could
see the Sky Island. So like, if they've got to dial some of the like resolutions and stuff back a little bit to have that all, once you're in it, look believable. I think that's the biggest, that's kind of what it all hinges on. Because if it's all this stuff in the sky, but it runs like shit, then who cares? Like,
yeah. And they already had it kind of in the first one because there was that one like bird dungeon.
Yep.
And in the DLC, you fight the last boss on like a big platform above the world, and it all worked. And like the draw distance in that first game was great in terms of being able to see.
That's so much the of landscape. Like the whole effect and everything. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
This is going to sound absolutely crazy, but I'm pretty excited to play the new Zelda game. I know. I'm sorry to be hot take dog over here. I'm all just opinions wrapped in a bun. And everyone's like, look at that hot take dog. Disgusting. It's all just pork meat. Yuck.
It was crazy to me how similar it is. Like when he's like fires it up, the same UI, like all it, like he gets on a horse and all of that. I was like, this is the same game, which is because usually even things that are like, using a lot of the same map or the same assets, it's like 6 years have passed, so the way that you do presentation is like slightly different, but this is all the same. But even that was just making me go, oh, it's a fucking good game, and it's really tempting to just fire up the old one and start from scratch, but I don't want to, like, you know, if I'm going to be back in that map anyway. I just am, that feeling of that first week of playing Breath of the Wild is like, I don't really think I've had a feeling like that in any other video game. So if this even gets close to that, like, it's really exciting.
And that is the one thing where, like, I was the same, and I think that feeling came from how unknown and how exciting to explore that world was. So I hope that this can recapture some of that. It doesn't look like it's the thing they're necessarily leaning on.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sure it'll be packed full of surprises.
I kind of wish that I had more of an idea of what the actual game is. Because, like, this is, it's just gameplay. It's just game mechanics. Mm. And it's new and interesting ones. But I am like, why will I need to do this?
Yeah.
Which we don't know.
At the very least. Because there's, like, little, that I'm sure there's, like, analysis videos of and stuff. Right. Like, little things visible in the distance that are, like, little blobs with like green shit coming off them flying up into the sky, and it looks like the equivalent of a shrine or a new thing of that.
Right.
From how, you know, steady as she goes, they've kept a lot of this stuff other than the new bits they've put on top of that. My guess would be the structure is very similar to the first one.
Right.
Which was cool. But yeah, then if you take the like, wow, where am I away from that, I wonder how that feels.
Mm. Mm.
couple of months left.
Because I'm not, like, you know, I'd love the, like, Dunkey videos where he will, yeah, do all those experimental things and, like, fuck around with the physics. But I don't do that when I'm playing the game.
Yeah, me
I'm
either.
Like, okay, what's the objective? All right, I'm going to go there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do, totally. You know.
So I'm the same. Sandboxy stuff, I'm kind of, yeah, I could give or take.
Yeah.
This interests me, these mechanics interest me in the way of, oh, okay, if it's a fun way to play the game, then yeah. Sure. But some people are like, this will be awesome because you can just do absolutely anything. And I'm like you, Ben. I don't really care. I've yeah. never gotten into Minecraft for that reason. Mm-hmm. It's too much. I want to explore. I loved finding the towers, having to get the stamina to climb them.
Yeah, yes.
Find a new hidden shrine, do the puzzle, get my little thing to get more stamina. I loved just that loop. So.
Which, obviously, they made that game, so they'll be able to, you know, have a way to give you those goals, like those actual tangible goals as
exactly,
well.
Exactly, because like the freeform stuff on its own, they know how to make games.
Yeah.
They know, and there are lots more games these days that lean on the freeform stuff, which I am similar where I'm not super into them, like the Rusts of the world and stuff
like that as well. Yeah, your creative mode in Fortnite and stuff like that, which, you know, they are popular, but yeah, it's not. I want a goal.
It's, in terms of fusing a weapon together, it's like, that is cool.
But sure, yeah.
You can make a car and drive across the world. I'm like, eh.
But if it gives you an encouraging reason to do that.
Of course, yes.
Where it's like, well, you need to cover this amount of space and this amount of time to do this challenge.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
Then put my name on the contract.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Or if it is like, you
and
know,
then
you
sign him up.
Yeah. You guys have to sign contracts when you buy games, right? They make you do that.
Death Stranding, you're doing a lot at the start where you're like having to just, yeah, go on foot and it's very slow. And then when you start unlocking the roads and getting the vehicles.
Yes,
so if it's
true.
Like something like that. Yep. Imagine if you can build roads in this Death Stranding style. That'd be fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Because when is it? If they said when this is set in relation to Breath of the Wild.
Afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't
they
think
haven't given a time frame.
Link's hair's a bit longer. That's got a shaggy mane.
I was about to say, I love that. Big hippie Link.
Yeah.
Yes. True. All the outfits and customizing. Yeah, I'm excited.
And do you know what? A thing I wanted in Breath of the Wild was to, after that game was finished, go around and say, talk to all the people and be like, get a load of what I just did. Yeah. Hey, we're safe now. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
And see that world evolve. And that is also partly what this will be.
I wonder if there'll be an end game in this one. Because, yeah, the other sort of big criticism I had, I guess, is that once you beat the final boss, you just go back to the save before that and, there's no, like you say, Nox, there's no, you don't see the consequences of that.
And like a million games don't have that. It felt missing in that game because it was so, such a place
that
it felt strange to suddenly be flung out of it.
Yeah, you wanted to be able to run around the castle in its natural state.
And maybe if that, if it went like, okay, you won the game, now continue on. I would have fucked around more with like the physics stuff and, you know, having like being, you know, happy and safe that I've like finished the game.
It's exciting. Like they've done, because the thing is they could have done the obvious simple thing would have been to go, well, okay, Majora's Mask, now we're in a new place.
Right.
Shushum, and we'll do it again.
Link wakes up on a beach somewhere else.
But this seems like it's shit that they kind of want. It's more like a Mario Galaxy 2 type of sequel where it's like, this is shit we would have chucked in the first game potentially if we'd have had the time.
Right.
Well, and they also, they sort of weren't developing it for... I mean, everyone associates it as being a Switch game, but it wasn't really being designed as a Switch game. It was just last minute, we can bump this up as a release game. So this is them actually working with the hardware that it's on. I was kind of hoping that it would be a bit more Majora's Mask, like, fucked up sort of vibe.
Mm.
Like, you know, go a bit sort of like weird and strange with it. Doesn't really look like they've pushed too far.
No, not really.
That direction.
Like his little claw thing is
that's
creepy.
That's true. Yeah.
And they very deliberately also, haven't shown any of those elements of it,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll fucking see, and I'm stoked to.
Well, that's the end of the show this week.
Pretty soon, too.
Yes.
It really will.
Was it May 12th?
May 12th.
Damn, that's 6 weeks or something.
And there's a special OLED Switch, a special Pro controller.
Yeah.
There's a little amiibo.
Because if they were just gold controllers on that Switch, that would look awesome.
Yeah.
But they've all got that sort of, and a lot of like the special edition things have had these very tattoo-y looking designs on for the last 5-ish years or whatever. I'm not a fan of that look.
Yeah, just no, a nice, I agree. Nice gold. Nice clean gold. That'd be sick.
That fucking Ocarina of Time cartridge.
Oh, yes.
I felt like royalty holding that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I died in a tunnel. Speaking of things that have died, the $1 Game Pass trial is...
It's off the table.
You can't do it anymore. Mm-mm. So you got to do... I mean, there's still probably lots of ways to get the free month codes or whatever. They chuck them on bottles of Mountain Dew. Or,
yeah.
But that was obviously a very intro-y get people into the ecosystem thing. Mm-hmm. All the prices of every streaming service are all going up.
Yeah.
Game Pass will probably follow suit in not too long of a time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it is now slightly more expensive to get into Game Pass. And I thought that dollar trial thing was a crazy deal.
Yeah.
It's a dollar.
It's $1.
I believe you can still do the little trick where you buy a bunch of gold.
Shut him, shut up.
And then just do that and then pay full price for Game Pass. go have a look if you look at... But anyway,
Adam, we're getting secretly paid by Microsoft. We can't undercut that.
No, listen, they can't hear me if I talk like this out of the side of my mouth. Yeah. They don't know that I'm shilling.
Mm.
No, there's, you know, it's... Gonna get less and less of a bargain over time as everything does.
That's why you should have a PC and have PC Game Pass because it's like half the cost of normal or something.
And most stuff goes on there. There are some things that end up console only, but
I haven't felt anything that we've wanted to talk about has been on the PC one.
All the Microsoft stuff, especially all of that comes out on there, and like. It's something where you know, you save a bit of money if you buy a year or whatever, but if you're doing it in the way of like, well, I'll pop in for a month every time a new game comes out that I want to play, that's probably the best way to do all of them these days.
I'll wait until I've got a spare chunk of time. Because it is so easy to keep these going in the background and then be like, I've been so busy, I haven't engaged in any of this in months.
But then having it sitting there all the time as well, it does make me go, oh, I'll give this a little crack.
I'll have a little sticky beak.
I think once it does go up in price, it's what's happened with me and Netflix is like, I will go in for 1 month and I'll watch the show that I'm interested in and the couple of new movies and then I will unsubscribe again.
And that they've got to know, the only thing you don't do that with is Patreon. That's the one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you do miss out on a whole bunch of stuff.
buy everything all the time.
But yeah, I think
be a good consumer.
Be a good little consumer.
For video games, it's like, oh, well, Flight Simulator's going to come out and it's $90. I'll get Game Pass for $11. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Starfield shows up later in the year and that, like, but then, you know, games get longer and longer and that is why they start making games as a service to keep you hooked in. So
yeah.
They'll find a way around you. But in the meantime, you can
feel like you're gaming the system. Like I definitely am with Netflix.
I'm going to fucking figure out how to pretend I still live at my parents' house by moving back to my parents' house.
That's very clever.
That's the most likely way of doing it.
That's great.
That's like a double bluff. It's beautiful.
Yeah. There's comedians who are like, oh, you know, I'm... I don't really have an address because I'm just on the road so much.
Right.
But I mean, when I'm back in town, I just stay with my parents. But you know, it's not worth me having my own place. If you rebranded that as like, well, I just save so much money on Netflix by living in my parents' house.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to defraud Netflix,
mm-hmm.
a very generous organization, by watching their service at a different house to my parents.
That's
so it's felt like the right thing to do.
I'm saving on Netflix. I'm saving on VPNs. Yeah. No, you should always have a VPN.
I was just getting sick of like the meal subscription service of having to eat every day. So I moved back with my parents. The Last Ronin. I couldn't think of one.
Yeah.
A way to transition into it. I might live in a sewer rather than my parents' house.
Nice.
Something's got to give.
A bunch of turtles that don't have parents.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah,
They've got a father figure, I suppose.
That's right.
Yeah, they all moved back with Splinter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
They're just out on the road fighting crime so much.
That's
it
right.
Doesn't make sense for them to have a fixed address. It's just a waste of money.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod, please, for the love of God.
Yeah, but, we all like to continue having fixed addresses.
I would love to be able to live somewhere. But wherever I'm living, I'm going to maybe have a little look at this. They just announced it. I don't think they showed much beyond concept art, pretty much.
Mm.
But there is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic that came out a couple years ago.
Graphic novel, please.
Comic for babies. that was like Samurai Ninja Turtles, basically.
It was,
is that?
Yeah.
And they're making a game.
It's
of
like
that.
One, It's like one of them, and it's right. not clear who he is, but he's got all their fucking weapons.
Oh, because he's the last Ronin.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes sense.
And it's like a God of War style game. Did we figure out who that was? Who was making that?
No. It's obviously going to be published by like the company that owns the property, which is Paramount. They've made all the movies and shit lately.
Yep.
But no, I couldn't see a developer mentioned. And it's just, I think the announcement is more that they are adapting it. So it's not even like, it's not in development.
I see. So some sort of just like early development contract has been signed. To I see.
Yeah. Sounds cool though, and I started reading the little preview online of the graphic novel.
Right.
And it's cool.
Yeah.
I think
I'll
get the full. It's just like it was like a limited, I think maybe like 5-8 issues or something like that.
Right.
Limited series, cool tone.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you can see like this would make a cool game.
Yeah.
You're a Ronin, but let me finish. He's a turtle.
Whoa.
Holy shit. Whoa. Developed by an unnamed studio.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so they're keeping it under their bandana as of right now.
It's
but it's good. They're saying an ambitious AAA game. Like, we're going for it here.
Fuck yeah.
There should All be. Right. I mean, yeah, that. I guess there was a new Turtles game recently, that Shredder's Revenge. Mm-hmm. That was great.
Yep.
But that was doing like a throwback thing. There's totally room for a modern AAA style Turtles game.
There was that Platinum Turtles game a few years ago. Oh, they made like a Turtles one and a Transformers one around a similar time.
And
but
I think
we're okay.
The same like source for that mentioned a different, like a more like child friendly focused other game that they're working on as well.
They're always making new Turtles shit.
Yeah.
The most heavily what is this? My mum's PC? Because this is heavily rebooted.
Oh, yeah.
She keeps just going straight for the reboot button.
She's got viruses on that
shit. I've done something wrong, Adam. I don't know what to do. Just reset it, mum.
Like a soldier who likes his feet being nice and cozy at night.
Yes.
But walks during the day. It's often rebooted.
Mm. A man who keeps getting trench foot would
like
need
a guy
to be rebooted.
A drunk guy keeps sneaking back into a pub.
Yeah.
It's getting rebooted all the time.
Like what the title of the latest Matrix film should have been.
Oh,
rebooted. Yeah. Why wasn't it called Rebooted?
I guess it's just got such a negative connotation.
Have they used
it? And it was a sequel,
true.
I suppose, as well.
Yeah, it's not a reboot.
Yeah. Maybe the next one will be rebooted.
I'd love
or maybe
that.
Because you reboot a computer and Matrix is on computers and it's
no,
like,
we get it.
I don't
it
understand.
Makes perfect sense.
Have they? But they've used that. You know, there's all this other bloody Matrix media out there.
I don't think. Look, I'm a bit of a Matrix head. I don't think they have. I think it was at the time like
I can't tell if you're looking at me with those sunglasses on.
I am wearing a trench coat today. Yeah. It's not black leather though. It's normal.
But it's dark brown. Some would say the gateway to black leather.
Anyway, what were we talking
about?
But
no, you're right. Reboot has its own kind of
people shit on
the
concept of it
now.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a reboot.
Well, a game that's sort of getting a reboot, even though it's a sequel, is Final Fantasy 16 as well.
Mm,
it is I guess it's not. I'd say that, but it's just been such a long time. The last few main Final Fantasies have come out over such a long period of time.
Yes.
Like the last five over 20 years, and two of those were MMOs.
Well, but they're kind of all reboots.
They're all fresh.
Distinct from one another, so.
But 16 is, I was going to say changing things up, but it is following in the vein of where the 7 remake was going and sort of 15 before that. There was like a 20-minute long sort of gameplay thing somewhere they showed it off, and I had a watch of that. Very different to the Zelda one where they were just taking you through a portion of the game. And
knowing that they were doing these sort of in the same week, they should have collabed. They should have had Aonuma. He just gets to sit down with Final Fantasy. He doesn't really know what he's doing.
And then meanwhile,
all of a sudden we have just all this new Zelda information because someone from Square's been like, what's that over there? Let's go check that out.
Hey, Fonzie, is that Mork from Ork? But they showed just like, a small segment of game, like walking into a town, having a stroll around, getting into combat for a while. The combat looked very... like Devil May Cry-ish. I think one of the main developers from a Devil May Cry game is working on this or something.
Yeah.
I could be very wrong about that, but it looks really cool.
Yeah,
it looks great to me. That's not far away at this point either.
It looks fun. It looks fun to play, which like there were some issues with 15 in terms of the gameplay. They obviously elevated that in the 7 remake. They were like, oh, we figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
More fast flowing. but also like easier to use your tactical stuff and just felt much more enjoyable. And then I assume it's going to be along the same lines.
This looks like, yeah, another step down that road. So I think you're kind of just playing as this one character for the majority of the game, which is, I suppose, a bit of a difference from previous Final Fantasies because you've got a party.
Yeah, yeah,
in those,
true.
But you're playing as a bloke.
Yeah, he's some soldier, right?
Some sword guy.
Yeah.
I don't know much about the story yet, but I really liked 14 while I was playing that. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of those people making this.
Yes, that's right.
And it looks fucking awesome.
There's some chocobos around.
They're hanging about.
Yeah.
All the Final Fantasy shit's there. It's like the medieval style of Final Fantasy, the more fantasy-ish one rather than the future one.
Yep. Your nines and 12s and 14s.
And that coexisting along the same side as the future 7 ones.
Yeah.
It's just a good time again for Final Fantasy. There was a dark patch there.
Oh, yeah.
There was a rough stretch.
Is Rebirth slated for this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I would be super surprised if that ended up happening.
Because we haven't seen... We've seen, like, CGI stuff. I think there was
one little bit of, like, you walking around in a kind of deserty-looking thing that looked like in-game footage, mate.
Right.
But, like, a sliver, anything. And it would just be weird to launch two massive Final Fantasy games in the same year, but...
Pokemon did it.
All the time, yeah.
Pokemon's, and they're a smart company.
And this is just PS5.
They're freaks.
They are.
They're freaks for games. They're
so chic.
They make freakish games at the very least.
I hope that they do both come out this year.
Yeah.
And I hope that they're both good. And yeah, 16 looks great. I'm obviously more excited for 7 they're calling it.
7 reboot.
Yeah. But this will tide me over. And when is this coming out?
June, July?
Yeah.
One of those two.
Mid-year seemed, yeah.
Yeah, that would be crazy, but I could see it. Because you would think that if 7 Remake 2 Rebirth
yes,
is being bumped back, we'd be hearing about that soonish.
Sure,
if it's not going to make this year.
Because they won't talk about it before this is out.
Yeah, and yeah.
True.
This, like... I guess they could start talking about it right after this pops up, but you spend a bit of time talking about your game that's just come out.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't be talking about it until at least August, probably September.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be a rapid turnaround.
Games should have trailers like movies do, where they're before other games. So you get Final Fantasy 16 home from the shop.
Yeah.
You're like, here we go.
Did you get what you played for?
And all of a sudden you're playing a bit of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
I love this idea.
Yeah, getting a little trailer. It's like, here it is. It's coming out in 3 months.
What about at the end, like a Goosebumps book used to have, where you just got one chapter of the next one?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Or like Square will be back in, and it's just like a shot.
Right.
A screenshot.
And you have to get through the entire 100-hour game to see this little teaser.
Well, I guess it's like post-credit sequences in movies, right?
Yeah,
Or even just a clip at the start. I thought, like, literally a trailer, not a demo. Just like...
When it's the same dev, if you fired up that menu and it was like, hey, you can start this game or, if you want, here's a little exclusive trailer.
I would hate this, and it sounds like the sort of thing they would do.
Yeah.
Because I hate sitting through the fucking, you know... animated EA Sports fucking fuck you.
Right.
No, but like, I mean, if it was literally if they hadn't released a big trailer in a while, game comes out and then just on the main menu it's like start, and then if there's just a thing down the bottom.
Yeah.
Preview of.
That happens.
And if you could select it, sometimes. That would be sick.
There are some games that I think do, this is like a very PS1 era sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you get like demo discs sometimes with some things. Tell you where we won't be getting any demo discs. I mean, we've talked about this a bunch, but from Ubisoft at E3, they've pulled out now.
Yep.
And we keep bringing this up, like another limb has rotted off of a corpse. Everyone knows E3 is dead at this stage, but yet more companies are saying,
The only company that had announced they were going has now announced they're not.
So it's done.
It's done. It's done like a dinner.
Which is fine because they all seem to be putting things on around the same time anyway.
It's fine for everyone who doesn't run the electronics entertainment
expo.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Otherwise known as E3 in the industry.
Well.
Otherwise known as EEE.
That's the financiers screaming as every potential investor
jump out a window.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this is good. You've got a document that says E3 on it there. Is that like someone else? No, that's our bank account. The three is how much we've got left.
Ooh.
And it's dollars. And I don't know why the E is there. Euros, I guess.
€3.
Why is all our money in euros?
That's nothing.
Yeah.
What's that, like $6?
Yeah.
Australian, yeah, like five. Yeah.
$5.50.
Ooh, that's not much money at all.
No.
You can't even get a cup of coffee for that around here these
days. I was going to say, well, it depends on the cafe, but my normal order of an oat milk latte with one sugar, regular size.
Trench coat. Here we are.
I paid $7 for that at a cafe the other day.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucked.
Man, I'm partial to an iced latte.
Mm-hmm.
And
you say a nice latte or an iced latte?
I would like either.
Oh.
But chuck some ice in a nice latte.
Mm.
But fuck, they make you pay for the privilege.
Yeah.
Mm.
I don't know what it is about dunking some fucking cold shit in there.
Yeah.
What if I brought my own ice? Oh, I've cracked it.
Oh, that's a great idea. And like a nice big plastic keep cup. So you ordering, you're not eating it. Yeah.
You're just ordering a regular like latte, not too hot, and then saying, but also leave a little bit of room in the cup for some ice cubes.
Fuck, you know what I could do?
Or bring along a Slurpee cup and just pour it in.
If I had ice at home, right?
Yes.
If.
I could also maybe get coffee and have that at my house.
Hmm.
And I've got a kettle there, right? And what that does is it boils up water to like a boiling point.
Right. Oh, wow. So that would break down the...
Yeah, I get scared every time I use it.
Yeah, right.
But that would like sort of, yeah, disseminate the coffee particles, break it down.
Yeah.
And then after a while, I guess,
pour it over the ice. I could get my own milk.
Do you have a fridge?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're going to need a fridge.
Yeah, that's the one, because that would help cool it down quicker.
It's a shame that you've gone this long without needing one.
Yeah.
Because finally, a fridge costs like 10 coffees too, so I'm done for.
Yeah. Yeah. So E3's done.
E3's done. Nothing really to say about it. The writing was already on the wall.
We've said that in other years where it hasn't happened and it came back, but
the comedy festival is back.
Yeah.
E3 will be back too. I'm proud to announce my show at E3.
There's bloody the bunch of clowns up at E3. That's where the real comedy festival is.
E3 presents the best of British.
Ah, it's the Ubisoft press conference.
Yes. Aaron Aardvark plays Tears of the Kingdom.
They haven't officially announced they're cancelling it yet, but it's got to be coming.
I mean, what can they do?
This is like Mark Watson not coming out for the comedy festival.
Right.
Enjoyable?
That'd have to be it. That'd have to be close the whole thing down, boys. It's not worth it.
It's a couple of
Danny Boy's where? Shit. Well, everyone's going to follow now.
So, but like you say, Nox, we'll be watching. Maybe Ubisoft is like the lowest priority one.
I couldn't give a shit what they're doing, yeah.
We'll watch the Sony one, watch a Nintendo Direct. There'll be a big Microsoft, Bethesda, Activision, Blizzard, probably.
And
it's the dawn of the new financial year.
Yeah.
They gotta be showing the shareholders what's coming up.
That's it.
Well, over there, theirs starts in May, I think.
Fuck!
No, well, that's still the start.
Still
of it.
The dawn.
Yeah.
A shame and we've said this before when we've talked about this exact same thing, but like the nostalgic part of me, which has a huge grip on my behavior, it thinks it's a shame, but it just doesn't make sense anymore because it is, you don't need to gather all those people in the same place anymore.
Yeah.
However, Jeff Keighley's Summer Games Fest will be back.
Well, that's true.
And then so will the Game Awards, which smartly are framed as an awards show, but are actually a bunch of trailers.
Yeah, if anything, games just, like E3 lasts for 12 months out of the year now.
Yeah,
so
exactly, yeah.
That's a nice way to look at it. But bring back the booth babes!
But I think, the Summer Games
Fest, the one thing that should have died from it.
Being like, oh, here's a bunch of demos. Is like, oh yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Don't get everyone into the same building to do a bunch of presentations.
Well, Nox, you're talking about nostalgia. I'm liking things from the past.
Mm.
Well, have I got the game for you.
Oh. Do you?
Yeah.
Well, tell me about it in a minute.
Yeah.
Because I can't actually hear you because there's too much hair in my ears.
Oh,
Nox,
sure.
You like things from the past.
Yeah.
Would you like to make your pubic region look like you did when you were 12?
That's the goal.
That's unfortunately what everyone who I date likes for some reason.
Well, have I got the product for you?
Resident Evil 4 remake.
Oh my God, guys, we got to get on the same page here.
The people at Manscaped are sponsoring us yet still because we are doing a good enough job of explaining to you how good their products are.
Yeah.
Because they are good and they're coming out right now. Oh. Get this, there's news. E3 might be dead, but Hairy is still happening this calendar year, and they're launching the Weed Whacker 2.0.
I love 1.0. Cannot imagine how good 2.0 is going to be.
Double. That's
the
how
good.
Much on a calculator, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's one of the new things you can get from Manscaped, and that
is it out yet? It might not be out yet, right?
I think it is. Let me double check what they've emailed us, but I think that's what we're talking about.
But I've had we've all got the Weed Whacker 1.0. It's great. It trims your nose
hair. Well, I do remember one of the things they say is don't bring that up ever again. That's one of the directions that I am sure of.
But we love this product, the nose hair trimmer, the ear hair trimmer.
Yep.
I'm not seeing a lot of ear hairs, personally, although it's hard to look into your own ears.
It sure is.
But I am whacking the weeds in my nose on the regular, and it's so good. It's very clean. It's very easy to use. You just give a little...
Mm-hmm.
Clean it out. Clear out all the hairs.
Yep.
And it gets rid of those unsightly nose hairs that poke down below the rim.
Yep. Some of the worst shit that
if
you
I'm allowed
get.
To say the rim of the nose.
Well, you can I'll use it to clean it. That too, I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah.
All of the stuff they make that I've tried has been great. The lawnmower 4.0 they're up to with that.
Yes.
And that is a great general purpose trimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The intended purpose is often, you know, the ball sack region.
Yeah. Mm.
But I use it on the ball sack of the face, my chin.
Yeah.
And it works perfectly fine up there. Beyond perfectly fine. I like the stuff they make. And
yeah.
It's,
excuse me, my chin balls are up here.
Was there like a movie?
Men in Black 2.
Yeah,
he's a
right.
Chimbalian.
Yeah.
Or a Balchinian.
Yes, that's
That's
right.
really the plot of Men in Black 2?
That's the entire plot.
That sounds like something from South Park.
And the point the point of there being a Balchinian as well is because he's like, hey, Jay, punch him in the chin because it'll hurt him because it's his balls, as opposed to a regular person where if you punch them in the face, they don't react.
Mm. Oh, thank God that wasn't my balls.
Yeah. Just a simple fucking wallop to the mouth.
Yeah.
I'm walking away happy.
Jawbreaker.
Yeah. Thank God he hit me in only the second most painful part of my body.
Mm, where I keep my brain.
But keep
Was there also not a ball chin in like... Movie 43 or something. I feel like a sketch.
Could be. Trucks have nuts sometimes.
I'm thinking of truck nuts.
And if you want to keep your truck nuts smooth, Manscaped is the place to go. Mm. Manscaped.com. Get what you want. The performance package is a good way of getting a bunch of stuff at the same time.
Yes.
And then you use the code FILTHY at checkout and you get 20% off and you get it shipped to you for nothing. For
Whoa.
Free. Free shipping, they call it.
Puppy. Yeah. Okay.
Don't shave a puppy. they're back. But you know who else is fucking back?
Yeah, if you're feeling a bit nostalgic.
You were saying before, Tommy. I'll let you do it now.
A little bloke by the name of Leon S. Kennedy.
Oh. I love that he chucks the S in there.
Yeah.
Real fancy special ops guy.
There was probably a different...
Suck my dick.
Is that what it stands for?
I guess.
That's rude.
So rude.
No, there was another Leon Kennedy.
I could imagine a scenario where someone says to him, what's the S stand for? And he goes, it stands for suck my dick.
Actually, he might say that.
Yeah.
He's quipping still.
He is.
I love this cunt. He's a piece of shit, but I love him.
Yeah, he's pretty cheesy.
He's a lovable... he's kind of like Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid 1, where
Absolutely.
He's like...
Oh, yeah.
Chucking a bit of... You know, he's like a...
A bit of guff.
Yeah, kind of an American James Bond.
The Japanese approach to their take on how much they love the American sort of like...
Let me blow your mind here. It's the American take on it too.
Yeah.
You ever seen Die Hard?
True. Yeah. But I mean specifically all the wacky shit. I've seen this go around on Twitter... Where there's a cutscene where you're standing at a wall, Leon is standing at a wall, and two chainsaws start coming through the wall.
Mm.
And rather than just duck, he like jumps up onto the wall and does a somersault into the air.
That is out of Metal Gear Solid, the Twin Snakes.
Right.
Basically, he does a backflip on a missile in that.
Fuck.
But
it is so just like Japanese people going, God, Americans are cool. I bet this is how they deal with the situation.
Well, and again, Twin Snakes developed in the US, I think.
Oh.
So, okay.
There's
you know,
one
check
bit.
Your map.
So we're talking about the Resident Evil 4 remake. It came out on Friday here.
Yep.
How much have you guys been able to play of it?
I have gone through a lot.
Yes.
I don't want to give away for anyone who might be playing for this the first time.
Percentage-wise, because I think this is a new PlayStation thing. Instead of going into your profile and checking your game, like, you just, like, you know, cursor over, you know, controller onto your active game, and it tells you on the right, like, how many, what percent of the main missions you've done.
Oh, mm-hmm. Right. I haven't seen that. I've done, I think I'm on chapter 6, and I'm
there's
maybe
about
4.5 hours in, I think.
You're about a third.
I played a bit last night, and I remember hearing that it's 15 hours, and, yeah, like, you're like, oh, okay, I'm pretty, yeah.
And
making progress.
It's following the
and you guys have both played it before, right?
I've played the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of it comparing to the... And this is your first time with Resident Evil 4, right?
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting and my idea of a perfect remake where it's following the same stuff. If you've played the original, you know what's going on here. But they've rethought every bit of it.
Okay.
It feels really different because I played a good chunk of the VR version a few a couple of years ago now, whenever that came out. And I kind of felt like I had at least the first bit of this in my head. Mm-hmm. And as I'm playing this, I'm like, have I got the worst memory or did I just, you know, is this completely different? Because it feels so fresh. Like, outside of that very first little village bit, it feels so,
in terms of, like, areas you're going through, it's following generally the same thing and, like, what you're doing. But especially the combat, which is the majority of your time in this game, it is super different.
Yeah.
Because the biggest change being that in Resident Evil, the original 4, you're planting your feet whenever you're aiming. You weren't moving around and aiming, and you are moving around whilst aiming in this one. And it has been really difficult for me to adjust to in a strange subconscious way where I'm still just automatically not moving. And all of the enemies have been designed with the idea that you can fucking dash around now.
Yeah. Some of them, like, sprint at you. Like, randomly as well.
And they would do that in the original, sort of close the distance to some degree, but they're a lot more swarmy now. There's a lot more of them. They're coming at you heavy and hard, and I have found this, like, engagingly challenging.
It is. Right. It's difficult right out of the gate.
Yeah.
Like, that first bit that you do where you come into this clearing and something's going on and your first sort of taste of what this game is, it takes a couple of goes. They really, really come at you. They don't just throw you a couple of enemies and gradually ratchet up the number. You get swarmed by like 10 as like the first thing that happens to you.
Which is a lot, by the way. Like,
yes.
10 may sound like a relatively small number.
And you're in kind of confined spaces. And
they're zipping after you. They are really trying to murder you.
Maybe my only, not even complaint, but just thing that I wish was a bit different in this, there's not a dedicated dodge button. I'm finding a little annoying. There's these guys that'll charge you and you get like a prompt to evade and you can do a roll out of the way.
And you can parry with your knife.
Yep. But I'm finding there's bits where I'm like wishing I could just do a little roll out of the way whenever I want.
I agree.
It only comes up as a prompt. It is weird to sort of have thought about it and have it in there, but only at these like you fight this boss and he can come down on you and you'll get the prompt. But then all the rest of the time it's like, it's still a big cunt coming at me that can kind of trap me and box me in. I want to be able to like swivel my way out.
I find myself constantly having to hammer in the sprint button to just like go around a boss or
which
a couple of enemies.
Feels a little clunky because it doesn't just let you pass through things. Like you'll bump up against if there's enough of them in there, you're like physically you kind of can't get through and evade your way out.
It is
a small thing, but that's just one little niggle with it.
Maybe the least fluid feeling part of it because most of it feels so good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like two sprint buttons for some reason. You can click in the stick or press R1. And yeah. if you're pressing back in R1, it'll do the thing like from the original where you immediately do a 180.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I would love for that to make you just start running backwards. Rather
yeah.
than,
or like, yeah.
yeah. Cause you are, it wants you to be running around.
Yes.
And positioning is super important with this. The way they've changed, you have a follower, like a sort of partner for a lot of the game mm-hmm. called Ashley, who part of it when she shows up is positioning her too. And like,
yeah.
you can either tell her to keep close or get back, and it's more and less useful in different situations. A lot of what the combat is about is knowing where you are and predicting where you should be.
Yeah.
And that
crowd
does,
control, right?
And crowd control. Yeah.
And like, a lot of it, like, you will do these bits several times because they're tricky, because you'll sort of realize, oh, right, like all of a sudden, oh, there's all these guys behind me. Oh, okay, there's a door right behind me in that bit, and they're all coming through there.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next time you're going through, you're being a bit more aware. I was doing a bit last night where you realize there's like people kind of like up high ringing bells to notify.
Mm.
So then the next time it's like, oh, okay, well, I'll go through and I'll try and snipe them out quickly so they can't do all that sort of stuff. A lot of these are built on, you're probably going to fuck up and have to do these a couple of times and get the lay of the land and sort of learn where everyone is and where everyone comes from. And
it's got like new checkpointing stuff where it's not relying on the typewriters in the same
way.
Yes.
You're restarting just before encounters.
It used to kick you out all the way back to your last
full save
physical
at a typewriter.
Proper save, yeah.
Which I feel like that was still the case in like the 2 and 3 remakes,
I think,
right?
So, yeah.
And 7 and 8, it felt like you were very much tied to the typewriter or the cassette tape.
I don't remember with 7 or 8, but certainly with the original 4, it was still that there. And this is, it's a lot more of an action game.
Yeah.
Than
those ones are a lot more like you're
Resident
in the one
Evils.
Map, so you're never too going too far.
Yeah, that's true.
Back, whereas here it is quite, you do spend a bit of time in some of the same areas, but it's quite linear.
Mm.
So it was like kicking you out a fair distance back.
Right.
The combat that you're doing in those bits too, yeah, there's a ton of people coming at you and it is about crowd control and like using the relatively limited resources that you've got, switching between all of these great feeling weapons
mm-hmm. yeah.
to kind of strategically figure out who's the bigger threat at any given time. And like aim really well at maybe one of them's holding a dynamite stick to throw at you.
Yes.
You can shoot that and get a bunch of them at once, figuring
Nothing
out when
better.
To use grenades. It's so fun. It
Making
was great.
Making someone drop their flare and blowing them up is so good.
So good. And it was great in the original, but it just feels different here in like a really cool, uncommon for remakes way where this feels like a new game.
Yeah.
From someone who's played the first one like 4 or 5 times. This feels super fresh because they're adding new stuff in, like these kind of side mission-y kind of quests that you're getting.
That come up in a very funny way where you're not like meeting people. You're just like finding there's a bit of paper like stuck to a wall and someone's gone, God, I wish someone had kill all these pigeons. Yeah. Maybe about 3 or so of them would be great.
Yeah.
It's very video gamey in that way, like how the original was, where it's like, it doesn't matter. You're playing it. You know what's going
You're
on.
Saving on a type. There's just typewriters
yeah.
all over this world for some reason.
There's a guy, a hooded merchant, who just shows up right when it's a good time to save and buy stuff.
And in some places, he'll be like, I got a shooting gallery through here, by the way. You can go and do a really fun and difficult shooting gallery and buy yourself some little fucking tokens that you can strap onto your case to give you better drop rates for certain ammo.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah,
I really love all that kind
of
stuff.
It's so charming and like so just trying to make you have fun all of the time.
Yeah. Like remembering, oh, it is a video game. It's not like meant to be a super immersive, super serious Last of Us or whatever.
Maybe it is just because we've all re-engaged with Last of Us recently through the TV series. But this approach to just like, it's not trying to tell you that humans are the real monsters. It's just like, no, monsters are the real monsters.
Right.
And this
Look at the shit that comes out of their heads.
Yeah.
These guys are crazy.
And this guy's saying, like, he's dropping a grenade and going, got a little present for you. Like, this guy's just a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, there's no nuance. There's no emotional beats. It's just pure action.
You're spin kicking guys to knock them into a crowd. It's ridiculous.
So if you haven't played it before, like I haven't, and yeah, maybe you've got in off the back of 7 and 8, which were, you know, a kind of a resurgence.
Yep. Yeah.
The general thrust is very shallow. It's very superficial. It's, I'm a special ops guy who was at Raccoon City when all the zombie shit went down. I've been like trained up even further to be James Bond. President's daughter goes missing.
Baby Eagle's out there somewhere.
She's in some made up Spanish town.
Yep.
Or some town that speaks Spanish. Don't even really know where it is.
I think it's meant to be in Spain.
Or is it in Spain? Yeah.
Because it seems European, but like it is just very like, yeah, you're going to Fictionville.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going to go rescue her.
Some weird stuff's been happening out here, though.
Mm.
The guy's driving you there. The cops, they're like, yeah, people been going missing here. Let me get out and piss. And it is extreme. Like, there's no real narrative beyond, you've got to go here now. Yeah. You've got to go here now. Oh, no, there's a storm. The helicopter can't come. You've got to go here now.
There's a big bad guy. What? Why? Yeah, he's just big and bad.
But it works. It's totally. Got thrust the whole way through.
And it's so atmospheric and, like, just dripping with this fucking mood. Mm. That
you come
it's got.
Out in one bit and there's, like, this really crazy storm. And the storm looks and feels incredible. Like, that bit for me was just so immersive of, like, I don't know if I've ever seen this effect done in a game or done this well. Mm. Of just this feeling of like walking out of this barn and just getting drenched and there's like lightning going off.
Right.
And yeah, I loved that segment. I thought that was so well done.
And
it
then
looks incredible.
Yeah, it is just pushing you through this simple mission.
Yeah.
Save the girl.
For the first...
With a couple wrinkles in it and whatever, and some characters. But
first half of the game, I reckon, is like there are bad people... You don't know why. They're kind of creepy. They're chanting something.
Yep.
And all the people are acting like zombies. Mm. And then I'm a bit past the halfway mark and there's still not really an explanation.
Look, I've played the original. Don't worry about it.
yeah.
It's not the point. And they explain it. It's just that there's not like some cool crazy reveal or whatever. It's not
the
point at all. Because it's just... taking you to these creative set pieces of, interesting, fresh ways constantly of using this combat to put you in new little arenas, in new little twists on it where, like, now it's this guy can't see you, so you've got to be quiet.
Yeah.
Just all sorts of people are chucking catapults at you now. Like, chainsaws are here. There's every step of it has an idea.
Mm.
And they're all fun.
I would say it's a big part of it. The escort mission nature of the middle third of the game.
Of quite
the
on
middle
and off
two
chunks
quarters.
From the, yeah.
yeah. It's kind of frustrating because it's not what the other games were like.
Mm.
And in other games, escort missions where you have to make sure the bloody person isn't getting attacked are just always frustrating.
I'm not, I know that's a bit that got a bit of flack in the original as well. And it's been improved in this. But it's still not my favorite.
Yeah.
It's like these encounters are already... They're already a challenge.
Exactly, yes.
Without just like having to... I placed her over there and now I've got to run. And you can get displaced so easily that kind of fighting your way back through it. I'm not disliking it, but I could...
It's just hard.
They could not be there for me and I don't think the game would be impacted.
And
in
the game is harder than the original,
right?
I think. And there's a few modes and there's an easy mode and then one that's the kind of default one that it says if you haven't played Resident Evil 4 before,
play
it on this one. And then the harder one is... If you played the original, go in on this one. And it's really hard.
Yeah, fuck.
Which is cool. I like that they're aware that this is a game that's been on everything.
Mm.
I think you can get it on the phone, right? It's on the App Store.
It's on all sorts of shit. It's on like phones that don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Right.
You've probably played it in some form or another. So just going in on a remake and being like, hey, yeah, if you come into this as someone who's gone through it 8 times, you know.
Crank it up. Why not?
Dial it up. Yeah.
Have fun. And... Yeah, just the...
Have you stuck with that?
It doesn't give you the option to change it throughout.
It doesn't?
No.
I thought it did.
Once you choose, I'm fairly certain that you're in for that playthrough.
I'm on normal and it's told me I can do it down to easy, but you can't change it back.
Okay.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
Maybe you can go between those two, but you can't go...
Also possibly that, yeah.
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 But it's like satisfying anyway. It makes you use every resource that you have and think about what you're doing and like it. The fighting is so intense that it's really enjoyable. there's little puzzles around and like yes. sort of backtracking and going and picking up more stuff for these other side God, things if you want
it
to.
I just love these games. They're like incredibly gory. If you've had the mm-hmm. bit with any chainsaw stuff where the chainsaw goes through the middle of you, yeah. Leon is really screaming in agony.
Guys will suck your heads off
because yeah.
they got big mouths.
Now, yeah. solve this Rubik's Cube.
Yeah. Find three coins that all have a weird guy's face on them.
These games love to make you find a head of a statue.
Yeah. Oh. I love it. But, yeah.
but they've added some more of that than right. was in the first yeah. game too. There are some areas that have been expanded. There are some that are sort of missing or truncated.
Right.
But it's all been replaced with a different idea.
I also just love, there's so much dumb video game logic in it that I really mm-hmm. enjoy. Like you've got this case, the idea that you're carrying all your weapons around in a suitcase.
In a attaché case.
And so your space management, you can't buy a gun if you don't have a room for it mm-hmm. in them. But you can sometimes get around that by just going in there and sort of Tetrising stuff around to make more space.
And you could just click the stick into auto do it too.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's trying to be very realistic about like, well, you know, you can only carry what you've got the room for.
Mm.
But then there's a bit where you're on a lake in a boat fighting a big monster and you've got unlimited harpoons.
yeah. yeah, that's right.
I also like, again, as a holdover of just like not messing with the kind of aesthetic things that people know of from Resident Evil is so you find a door, it's locked. Then you find a key. You go back to the door. You push the action button. Rather than just open the door, it just brings up the little thing of like, now, which of your items would you like to use on this lock?
Yeah, yeah. The key that you have?
I just love that. For some reason, it's like, I don't know. There's just something about it. It's like, yeah, you're a genius.
Yeah.
You worked out how to do this.
The extra little bits of treasure you can find and all the sort of hunting around for that stuff is really fun. The game will move you along from section to section, so there are points of no return for getting all of that, and I missed one, and I'm genuinely having a hard time coping with it, but it's made to be replayed too.
I've got so few of the, like, yeah, there's a bit with the merchant where it's a trade bit, and you trade these, like, pink gems. I reckon I found, like, two in the whole game.
You get them from, like, the side missions, and, like, there are treasures hanging in little lanterns around. And
I'm just barreling forwards.
I did the...
The first time you play it, too, why not? Like, there's momentum to the main path of the game.
You
want to
see the next area, And they do... Yeah, they do such a good job of, because this was such a departure from the formula of 2 and 3.
Right.
But they still do these nice little moments where you're in a little bit and you're kind of going through this different room and you're finding all these... they just do that kind of on a micro scale.
Right.
Again and again and again and again, rather than it just being the one bigger map.
And even though the story is paper, like the tone and the atmosphere and like the silliness that it has with a lot of it is really fun and engaging. Like it's full of character even though it
does. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think. And it looks and sounds pretty good. My one... biggest complaint with it, and it's so minor, but it's really bothering me for some reason. Ashley fucking pants a lot.
Oh,
When you're running around, I don't know if it's because I'm playing with headphones, I'm noticing a lot, but she is out of breath all the time, and it's really bothering me.
I get there's that, and because there's also when they're walking through that storm that I mentioned, Leon's also going, ugh.
Yeah, really bothered by the
rain.
He's
really making a big deal. And obviously... Yeah.
Surely you've been trained for this, though. You're a special ops guy. You know how to sit in mud.
We've all been there. It's annoying. But it is just these bits where it's like they're doing it, kind of constantly. And you're trying to get through it.
All through the whole thing. Maybe I'll find out my neighbors have been fucking or something. But like it is in the game. But like looks and sound-wise, it's pretty great. It looks weirdly... bad on the PS5. Not bad, just like image quality wise.
Yeah.
It's oddly below the bar you would expect.
I've noticed this thing where the dark, it's very dark at times, and I'm closing my curtains and all that. It's not like a glare thing or anything. Mm. I've noticed like the blacks are very muddy and almost like pixelated, like the shadow. Yeah, yeah.
The darkness and brightness settings are strange in this game, where like there's a specific setting you can do that makes it look the least washed out.
Right.
And like there's certain things where if you go into resolution mode but turn off the ray tracing and turn off the hair and whatever and turn off chromatic aberration, there's like a best way to have it looking.
You told me this because I had it on frame rate mode, which looked kind of fuzzy, and obviously frame rate you don't get the best resolution, but I've honestly never noticed that much of a difference between frame rate and resolution mode, other than just like I prefer the frame rate.
Right.
But then if you, yeah, if you put it into resolution mode and turn those things off, you still get the high frame rate.
The frame rate is for like 120 frames.
Yeah, right.
Right. So it's a little technically odd on the PS5 and on the Xbox.
It is like doing it on a PC where it's making you go through and sort of tweak all these things rather than just pick one of two options.
Yeah. On the Xbox, there's some issues with the controls for some reason where like the dead zones on the sticks are way off and it feels bad. So if you were looking at an Xbox version, keep that in mind. I don't know if it'll be fixed or whatever, but... I've found the aiming a little odd on the PS5 too at times.
The
acceleration of it feels a little slurpy or something. I don't know how to say it, but you can adjust those settings and whatever. But that is just a strange quirk to this, where normally Capcom as well is like really good at that
sort of thing.
So just a minor note though, it doesn't look bad, because like the actual visual design and like the quality of a lot of the visuals is right up there.
Oh, and like all the lighting and the reflections and stuff are good. But yeah, I found like the light balance, like the white balance almost. It's like, oh, why is this not, why does this look like a movie that's dark where I've had to turn the brightness up?
Yeah,
look up those settings that apparently work best. It's an odd thing that you don't get with most games.
Yeah.
But this has strange tuning to it for whatever
I guess
reason.
Just because of the weird cross-generational thing we're in, right? Like
I think the PS4 and the Xbox One versions are very... like torn apart,
right,
is my understanding of it. Again, only haven't played the PS5 version. The PC one's meant to be pretty good, I think.
Yep.
Okay.
But it's out on all those things, and it's a fun fucking game,
it's
I reckon.
Fucking awesome.
It's good.
It's just so good.
I will say though, it's my lowest ranked Resident Evil game.
Interesting.
I think I go 8.
Two
remake.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
3 remake, 4.
Wow.
4 remake.
Remake.
Because yes. 4 itself, that is my favorite thing with this, as someone who's played 4 to death and was really, I like that game a lot, so I was going to play this remake either way. But this being able to exist as like a companion piece to that,
right.
in a way that remakes don't usually, is very cool.
Yeah.
I think like it has value, even if you think you've fucking done Resident Evil 4 to death. This is still has shit there to offer you.
Yeah.
Right. It's different enough. It's, yeah.
Super unusual.
Playing it now, it holds up as a contemporary version of it. Yeah, right.
I wonder if you'd even like 4 original better, because I think I prefer the original in some ways.
Yeah, right.
To this, because like this, you know, feels a lot more like a modern game, but like doesn't have, there was like a little spark that's not quite there in this one, even though I think this is great.
Yeah.
4 is like an all-timer. To me, does that sort of make sense?
Yeah.
I think, 4's probably the peak of it for me, and then probably 2 remake, and then 7, 8, 3. Right. I like that we all just don't have 5 and 6 in the conversation.
5 and 6 would be low for me, and 1 obviously exists as well, but and 0 and Code Veronica,
no
they're
one
all
really rides for them. Like, and yeah, I remember after this coming out and then dipping in on 5 and people just being like, and then. 6 was like, oh, okay, this franchise is over.
Right.
And 7 people being like, well, I'll be damned.
And I still like 1 and 0 and all those like original type of things. And it's just cool that they all get to exist in a different place.
Yeah.
There's no best version really of any of them. They all kind of...
The VR version's incredible.
There's a VR version of 4 remake coming to PSVR 2 at some stage too.
Yep. And that Mercenaries mode. Mercenaries
mode, free DLC.
Yep.
So they
in like a week and a half, yeah.
References in the code to like, so there was like an Ada, who's another character in the game, side chapter in the original, and that will probably be coming as DLC at some point, I would imagine, paid down the road.
Right.
But it's a great game. Like, if you've never played a Resident Evil game before as well, you don't need to have. This is a completely separate thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It can stand completely on its own. If you've played a bunch of them too, it also stands completely on its own.
Right.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
And it's just a fun action game
it
too.
It is.
It's just a straight up and down, get your guns out.
Yeah.
Fucking shoot these guys. And enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
Don't think about whether you're being trained by the military industrial complex to become okay with gun violence. Like, it's a, this
but
is,
also
this is
it's not
fun.
Yeah, it's not making you think about the philosophy of anything.
No.
Honestly.
It's a pretty silly, wacky game a lot of times, and kind of dark and scary at points. Like, it's moody at least.
It's a good horror movie, but it's not a Halloween where it's commenting on suburban society, and it's a bloody Saw or something.
How weird are fucking big worms?
Right.
Is its thing. It's like, how scary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How scary would it be if shit was all gross?
Mm.
Yeah, the Spanish.
Well, the shit that comes out of their heads if they're infected with Las Plagas.
Oh, yes.
Great game.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it a crack.
There's much more to say than
give
that.
It a crack, it's for a, sure.
Yeah.
I genuinely think almost anybody would get something out of it.
Who plays games?
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta already be.
You gotta be into video games.
You know how controls work. Actually, you mentioned it before and I forgot to pipe up, but the weird little dodge prompts and stuff are coming up weirdly late and I don't like that part.
Yeah. I just wish it was I don't know why, it's just not its own button.
Yeah, the dodge and the parry. It's like, it's happening now, so you better hit the button now.
It's slightly tight.
Yeah.
But fuck, man. My complaints are so minor.
Yeah. Game. And I will say, like, it being the bottom of my Resident Evil games, it's still like a 8.5 out of 10 compared to like a 9.5.
Yeah.
And it's like, maybe having played 8 really as the first one I like got into and played start to finish, being like gothic horror set in a village.
Yeah.
It has those like interesting bosses and you're moving around in very distinct areas, whereas this is more of a like, a linear like, okay, go from the village to the other part of the village to this bit over, you know. It's,
totally. And as much as this feels like a new thing, 4 original was so influential that this can't remake that effect.
Mm-hmm.
There would be no way.
Yeah.
And so this does exist without that sort of context that I think you can still get out of going back to original 4.
Yeah, interesting.
But it's a fucking fun game.
They're making 9.
I assume so. I don't know if they've said any stuff, but they'll keep making Resident Evil games, I think, is a safe bet.
It's the end of the Winters saga.
They've said the first person as well, I think, will probably not keep going.
Right.
So they've implied a 9, but they've, I think that's right.
I reckon we'll see a 9 and then we'll see a 1 remake.
Maybe. Who knows? Because they've
get all those first 4 done.
There sort of is a 1 remake, though, from before they started.
They did
doing
one, and they did a
run.
1 remake on like the GameCube.
Yeah,
so
and
that's
you can
like
buy like the HD version of that on the PS4 and stuff.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
If
what
I was,
do.
Well, if anyone in there is of your mindset, Knox, you got to finish the collection. Get 1 done. You've got 2, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the same sort of format.
Code Veronica
scope.
As well is in there, which was sort of meant to be 3.
Yeah. And I've seen people like online being like, that's got to be the next one, right? Cause,
and 0 as well, I suppose. But like, they could just keep a remake cycle going until 9 and 10 and 11 around. By then, 7 will need it. And like, this thing will fucking trample on forever like a tank track, just everything coming back around.
But
at some point,
that's fine.
Hey, they're good. Fun.
They're good games.
It's one of the best remakes that has ever been done.
Yeah. Do we have some Patreon?
Oh yeah, we got heaps.
Of course
feedback.
We do.
Everyone loving this game, presumably.
No, everyone hates it. We're all shitting on it.
They're calling them the craziest patrons in the world. let me pull that back up as well. Here we go. I got one from Alex here.
Mm-hmm.
I have played the original Resident Evil 4 over a dozen times, but the remake on hardcore mode has still managed to routinely make me feel like an absolute dipshit. It's fantastic. That lines up with what I'm feeling too, Alex. Couple of dipshits over here. We've got a perspective from Daniel. I've never played a Resident Evil. Bring back Farmville. So, you know, we take all perspectives.
That's right. Yeah.
They're all important.
Who else we got? We got...
Yeah, my internet's not working. Sorry.
I'll read one from Wade. The game looks so... the game so far looks and plays extremely well. I am so excited to once again be too scared to play unless I force my wife to sit on the couch next to me, not paying attention, while I scream as I turn every other corner. I am a 37-year-old man.
Fuck yeah.
Josh, too scary, too hard, great game.
Yeah, yep. Great. Yep. I haven't found it scary, I will say. Maybe I'm just getting less scared as I get older or as I play more horror games, which I really just avoided previously. I haven't found it too scary. Like the few jump scares have been kind of telegraphed, but I think, like you said, Nox, it's more about the atmosphere. It cultivates a nice, spooky atmosphere.
And it's not so much like, oh, what's at the end of this corridor scary, as fuck, there's a lot of people here. What am I going to do? Like, an intense type of pressure rather than a fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
Hearing the chainsaw revving up from the distance of being like, oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, this guy's going to chop down a tree. We need them all. Global war.
Body shaming here from Aaron. Who says, well, first, I was worried that this would be the tipping point, pushing the Resident Evil remakes into wheel-spinning territory, but I'm happily surprised. The tone and feel are perfect, even with some marked improvement in sound and visuals over the 2 and 3 remakes. Side note, is it just me or did Leon pack on a couple of pounds since 2005?
I think of muscle. He seems buffer
this
time. He was more of a lean Leon.
A lean, mean fighting machine, yeah.
Leon the raw... I guess one more. Mm-hmm. From Lucas, I never played the original, but I'm loving the remake. Great mix of fast action and slower paced survival gameplay. Also, some of the most satisfying sound design from any video game. Love reloading the bolt launcher to hear those sweet sounds.
Yeah.
And everything does sound good. The weapons all sound and look and feel great.
Even just the swapping them in and out, using your little hotkeys to get your shotgun off your back. Sounds so good.
The villager sort of things they would say, like the quiet, all that stuff has so burned into my mind from the original. It's all redone here, but with the same sort of stuff, and it works great.
Yeah.
They're spooky sounding guys. I like the merchant. He talks a lot more. He's always giving you a little bit. He'd had some sort of stock lines in the original.
Your money or your life.
What are you buying?
Yeah.
What are you selling?
Yeah.
I'll buy it at a high price.
Whoa.
I think that was about it.
Okay.
You can cut him off a lot too. A lot of what he says
is very
long.
I'm zipping around in those menus.
And it's just one of those weird things where it's like, it's kind of so immersion breaking to not just leave him, let the line play out.
I like imagining he's standing there watching us sift through his things going like, there's a few missions out there for you, straight. You can get that if you want to. That's on special, yeah.
It's him trying to be professional.
Yeah.
Stay on top of it.
I just wanted to mention also, Tolkien Taters said, I wish the melee prompts were a little less camera dependent, which, I guess that's what it is, right? It sort of depends exactly where you're looking, like whether someone's coming at you or not.
Right.
And I've noticed, specifically with the bosses, if you are in the wrong place looking in the wrong direction and they come and get you for a big swipe, it won't give you a prompt.
It's a lot. The best practice seems to be do what you can, run to the other side of wherever you are, set yourself up, do what you can, repeat.
Yeah.
Which is still pretty fun to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your correspondence, folks.
Yes.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
If you get read out for comments here, you get a bunch of extra podcasts every single week.
Yes.
We're looking at mixing up what we're doing with some bonus video content too there, which I think will be fun.
Yes.
And you get the Bandcamp episodes for free when we put another one of those. You get a ton of shit and
Facebook
all the old
group,
stuff is
Discord,
there.
All of that shit.
Yeah, get on there.
Get around it.
It's a great time to have content, in my opinion.
It sure is.
Patreon.com/filthycasualspod.
Come see us live this Sunday, April 2nd.
Yes.
Comedy Republic, 3:40 p.m. Head to the Comedy Republic website for tickets. You can also stream it. Thanks very much for listening. We will see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
I'll listen to their Patreon at a high price. Oh, I don't need to. It's a reasonable price. Fantastic, stranger.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone.
No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.